So tonight, quit chores a little early. I'm going up to talk to two neighbors of mine, Katie and Chris. And for some reason, they wanted to leave their names anonymous. Anyway, they've been fun to watch. They're on a quest to do a huge amount of gardening and providing of their own foods. And so let's get to talking with them, and I think you'll be quite intrigued by what all they're up to. Yeah, so I'm here with Chris and Katie, and let's get to talking. What were y'all doing in California? What were you up to out there?
I was working at a bicycle. The largest bicycle retail shop in Northern California. Before we left, it was bought out by the Trek Bicycle Corporation, and I had met my wife probably a year before this move, and we decided that we probably wanted to spend the rest of our lives together, and we wanted to do it away from California.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So you were married about a year.
No, we moved. We got married like the week that we moved here.
Oh my. Okay. Yeah. And what were you up to there then?
Well, first of all, we were both born and raised in the Sacramento County area. Okay. So just doing what we're normally doing and what we always do, you know, living in the suburbs and stuff. I still work for the same company I worked for. I work remote, but in accounting. Mm-hmm. For a large company.
Accounting, yeah.
Yep, yeah. So mm-hmm. Basically we just saw the way things were going in California in general, and it just wasn't looking the way that we wanted to live our lives. Mm-hmm. So we made the decision to move out of state, and once I was able to work remotely, we looked for places out of state that I could work in only certain states. So found this place mm-hmm. online and made an offer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Sight unseen.
Huh. Were there other places that were options? And this was at the top of the heap, or was it kind of limited?
I didn't care if I just wanted acreage.
Okay.
I just wanted acreage. I didn't care if there was a dwelling on it at all.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had been looking to restore historic homes for, a long time before that.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted something that was like 100 years old. I just wanted something with acreage, and this place happened to be like over 100 years old and had the acreage that I wanted. And it seemed reasonable.
Mm-hmm. How many acres?
20 acres.
20 acres, mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, at the time when it was up for sale, everybody thought, ooh, that's kind of a high, big price tag. Mm-hmm. But comparatively, and what's going on now, mm-hmm. No. Y'all got a good bargain.
The prices of homes where we had come from, like she owned a condo there, and you have a neighbor on this side of this wall, and you have mm-hmm. a neighbor on this side of this wall.
Right.
There's no yard or anything like that.
Right.
So this is just this is a whole different way mm-hmm. of living.
What was so scary? What was becoming so scary about California to you all?
Oh, I don't know if we want to get into the whole politics of things, but
okay.
I guess you could say, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go into it.
All right, no problem, sure.
Mm-hmm. There was when we had met, this was at like the height of, it was a couple years into the COVID-19
sure.
Thing, and mm-hmm. It changed everybody and society, the way society functioned, and everybody around me. People were afraid of each other. Families didn't want to get together with other family members because of certain mm-hmm. choices they may or may not have
right.
made. I really just wanted to get the heck away from people at that point. I wanted to start living more like the lifestyle outlined biblically, you know what I mean? Which is probably I want to drink out of my own cistern and eat my own food,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Huh.
Yeah, they were just passing some laws that were kind of scary. tyrannical laws to the point where we weren't even sure if we were going to be able to work in California based on our beliefs. We decided we need to make a life for ourselves somewhere else, you know.
I'm sure you're aware that there's a lot of people making Missouri their choice now from other places where they've been living. We're getting quite a migration into the county. We've been at 10,000 population, for 40 years. And I would say the next census will be the first time that's bumping up. And I wouldn't be surprised that we'll go to 10,700, which is huge when you consider the fact that we lose all our young people. Now they do tend to come back, but they our young people leave. Our population is like a, I was going to say like an hourglass, but it isn't. There's very few babies born in Howard County. Very few. It's an interesting demographic anymore. My family became migrants and immigrants to Missouri in 1960s, and the same thing was happening. People were moving to Missouri because the land was very reasonably priced, and the weather was better than way up north. So you didn't necessarily pick Howard County, but this farm was here and it worked out good for you. Sight unseen.
Well, yeah, after talking with the realtor, I think another thing that was really important for us was no land restrictions. Coming from California, where they will shut you down in 2 seconds. I worked in at a company that restored houses, and so I would know how quickly they would come, and it was called red tag. We'd put a tag on the door and shut you down. And then you would be stalled for 3 months until you pay the county more money and all sorts of stuff. So after talking with the realtor and just to get a general sense of the culture and, you know, I think the value of freedom was very attractive. And I think that also is one reason why we put an offer on it, on the property.
Yeah, and you go just 20 miles east of here into Boone County, and you know how different it is there restriction-wise. You know, I say Howard County is a place to celebrate in that a young couple can buy an acreage, put a trashy trailer on it, don't have to have even a septic tank, and then as the money becomes available, they upgrade their living situation. And that's not happening as much now as it was before. People aren't willing to live in trashy trailers like we all did back then.
But the option is available still,
right,
if someone wants to do that. You
exactly.
know, sometimes you've got to make sacrifices if you really want to achieve your, you know, your goals long term.
Right. How long had been together before you got married? Or were you still separate, living separately?
We were living separately until we actually moved out here. And we got married right when we got out here.
And so were you already head-wise thinking about, boy, we want to be in a place where we can raise a bunch of food?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the goal.
So that was already in your thinking.
So like self-sufficiency has been one of my priorities for a long time, and I couldn't really practice that in the situation I was in before moving out here. And, you know, thank the Father, I met my wife and she kind of wanted to do the same things that I wanted to do. And, you know, I have a really good partner for accomplishing these, you know, these goals and these dreams.
What was moving like? What did you bring? A lot of stuff?
7 cats.
Okay. And the furniture?
I brought all the furniture, almost all of it. I brought all of these houseplants.
Wow.
So that was really stressful, packing those all up and driving those across the country.
We had to like wrap each individual plant in plastic.
Wow.
Well, I had to rent a separate cargo van for that.
Yeah, I am surrounded by houseplants.
There was more before we moved here.
Because I had a townhouse, and I had that desire. I had to grow things. So I didn't have any outside space, so the only thing I could do was grow these houseplants.
Hmm.
And so that was one reason why I wanted a big garden area to fill that desire to grow things.
Now we grow food instead now.
Amazing. How were you already educating yourself, reading books on gardening, or did you, here we are, now we're going to start learning how to produce vegetables?
That's how it was. We just got here and learned as we did it. And
we're still learning.
I mean, it's only year two, and so we are definitely still learning and see what works, what doesn't work.
You've probably been here slightly over 2 years
Less
now?
Less than 2 years still.
Next month it'll be 2 years.
2 years, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember seeing lights on in the house in the evening. I thought, hallelujah, somebody's moving into that house, moved into that house. And then I started seeing piles and piles of stuff that you had the garbage people pick up. And that was the next thing I saw.
There's so much more.
Amazing. So you did some gardening last summer already or not?
A little bit.
Okay.
We didn't have much in place. So we built a few raised beds and, just a garden plot. But then everything was so dry that it wasn't, I mean, it produced a little bit, I guess, for how dry it was.
Right.
It was okay. But wasn't the best experience. We thought it was going to be raining year-round, and then we get here, and it's just like California. No rain.
Yeah, interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah, last year was a real bummer. And now we're experiencing dry again. This afternoon I went into town at 4 o'clock, and between the junction of 3 and 5, it started raining. It rained all the way to Fayette. I'd say they got a good quarter of an inch.
Yes.
I looked up in the sky and thought, where is this coming from?
I was working the wheelbarrow into the garden beds earlier, and I could feel like mist on me. There was nothing big.
Yeah, and I did a bunch of seeding a few days ago for turnips and stuff like that for the goats and sheep, and I just soon had that quarter of an inch. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Ho hum. Mm-hmm. Another day, another dry disaster. Yeah. What I've observed is that you've pretty well turned the whole lawn around the house into your garden. Do you want to describe your raised beds?
Sure. I'd rather grow food and not lawns. So I like the idea of utilizing all of my lawn space as food space.
Yeah.
The raised beds, we had purchased a lot of treated lumber, thinking it'd be the best thing for raised beds. And after we made the purchase and got it, I found out that probably didn't want to be using treated lumber, but we did, and that's what we have.
Yeah.
Just in the last couple months, I think we've doubled the amount of raised beds that we had from this last season. So I'm slowly filling those up now for, next year. We can pray that the weather is, how it was this year, because I feel like a lot of the food would produce very well.
Are you at maybe 40 raised beds with the new ones?
I have 20 new ones that I just built. I don't know how many raised beds we have out there.
It's over 80. But they're small.
Wow.
Some are small. Okay. Some are bucket size. Some are 2x4s. Some are 5x3s.
3x5s.
Three by fives.
But then these ones I built now are 4x8s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're not all big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you go about watering?
I didn't have to a lot this summer.
Well,
after last summer I spent the winter researching on how to build a drip system, and I put in the drip system for all the beds, and so that's one reason why I wanted everything close to the house. So Initially, I was thinking I was going to have to hand water with the hose and stuff, but after finding out how long it took last year to hand water just a few beds, and I couldn't even get all the way into that garden section without just trampling the plants, I built the drip system over the wintertime and got it up and ready for spring. So it's been helpful. So
yeah.
Haven't had to use it a lot except for the beginning of the season and just recently.
All right. Vegetables can be really difficult. Is that maybe the weakest area right now in your food supply yet? Or are you pretty pleased with the progress that's been going or
this
not?
This year has been well. We've done well, yeah.
Okay.
I would say it's been...
What do you wish you had more of that you raised vegetable-wise?
Broccoli.
Well, the brassicas don't do very well because we don't use any sprays or anything, but I just did find some organic product that I'm going to try next year. The broccoli did not, even though it didn't get completely destroyed by bugs, it didn't get real big heads. So we've been getting little heads, you know, now and then, and that's it. And cauliflower did not do well. The cabbage... just really didn't get big heads. Only a few of them got some small heads and then got eaten by worms and stuff. So
brassicas have been a problem.
Brassicas are hard. Squash last year was hard. And then besides the butternuts, the others got devoured by the squash bugs. So those two have been hard. So I would like to be able to grow more varieties of that, so we'll see.
I wonder if keeping the guineas in these garden areas too can take care of those pests that get on the plants, because the guineas, we've hatched out a lot of guineas this year, and they're free ranging now, and I mean, I haven't seen a tick this year, really. I think they're doing a really good job at that.
And you're thinking they will do a better job another year with squash bugs, or
I've noticed they tend to leave the food alone, but they will eat the bugs off of the food. So I think we could utilize them in a positive way that way.
Interesting. Squash bugs are so nasty smelling. I don't know what they taste like, but apparently guineas like them. Yeah. You aren't vegans. I know that because I see animals around here. What have you got for critters that are producing food for you?
Got a flock of turkeys. Got quite a few flocks of chickens. Got a few flocks of guineas. Got goats that are making more goats. What else do we have? We have quail.
Yeah.
We're raising quail. So we have like a breeding stock of quail and we have a feeding stock of quail. We have incubators so we can incubate our eggs year-round to keep hatching out more food. What else are we growing? What else are we raising for food?
Well, so far we've just had the quail, the turkeys, and some of the extra roosters that, you know, have hatched that we obviously can't keep. That's what we've done so far, you know, but we have goals for, you know, other stuff down the road.
What are the numbers on your turkeys?
We probably have like 26 right now. What do you think? Maybe 30?
We hatched out 24. We hatched out 24 from our own eggs this year.
So we probably have like 35 turkeys.
Wow.
We brought in a few from the hatchery, not knowing, because we had our turkeys. We didn't know if they were going to be reproducing well. We only had three as a breeding stock, and so I had pre-ordered turkeys. And then they produce very well, but I had already pre-ordered these others, but you know, that's fine because it'll, you know, create a bigger gene pool for, you know, having our own flock that we're going to raise and breed. So it's not going to all come from, you know, one Tom. And so there'll be more, you know, genetics mixed in.
We're trying to raise all heritage breeds, too, because they're going to be good at feeding themselves. So they're not relying on us specifically to just feed them around the clock. They can they're good foragers.
Well, they reproduce on their own, where the commercial breeds, they are too big to reproduce naturally.
They're made to be slaughtered.
So you have to buy them every year for the hatchery, and we don't want to do that. We want to be able to make our investment once and then, you know, have them reproduce on their own.
The heritage maybe don't have as turkeys as big a breast, so there'd be a higher concentration of dark meat.
Yeah, it's very flavorful. It's very flavorful compared to, like, I think, like, store-bought frozen turkeys and stuff.
Right.
I enjoy it. You do get less meat, but the meat that is there, it's richer.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Especially, we'll pressure can the meat.
I have trouble getting excited about eating turkey. And it's for the reasons you mentioned.
I figured out I can make carnitas with like, the turkey, and it's delicious.
All right. The quail are interesting. They're kind of a small animal. Why did you choose to work with them?
Well, because I watched a video on how to butcher quail, and you could butcher and be done with processing a quail in less than 2 minutes. Compared to after going through our first butchering day of chickens, where we did 13 chickens that first day.
She cried at everyone.
Well, it was a lot of work. Like, it was extreme, like, back-breaking. Like, your back literally hurt. You're on your feet all day. It was exhausting. We started, I mean, of course, we were new to this, so it took us a lot longer than, you know, it probably should take somebody. So we started setting up at 8 in the morning and finished cleaning up at 10 o'clock at night for, like, 13 chickens, because we'd never done this before. We don't know anybody that had done it before. We had to learn by teaching ourselves by watching videos online. So after going through that and understanding how much time and effort it took, I like the idea of being done with a bird in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the taste of them was really good too.
And they supposedly it's 8 weeks and they're ready to from the time they hatch, 8 weeks later they're ready to eat.
Yeah.
And so when you decide to have quail for supper, does each of you get a quail, or do you split one, or how
she could eat maybe like two of them. I could eat like three.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll cook about 10 at a time, and that way we'll have dinner for like 2 nights.
I see. And bake or fry, or how do you fix a...
This oven that I have has an air fry setting on it.
Yeah.
And what I think the air fry setting does is it emits heat from above really intensely and spins a fan to circulate it. And it cooks the food very, 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 very fast and gets the outside really crispy. So I put it in there at 400 degrees on the air fry setting. You rub it with like oil and whatever seasoning you want on it, salt, pepper, or whatever. And 10 minutes on one side, 10 minutes on the other side, pull it out, it's perfect.
Wow. Do you have to keep the quail confined all the time?
Yes.
Okay.
They get sneaky and they get out sometimes, but they don't go very far. And they know when feeding time is for the rest of the birds, and they'll fly back. And
I see.
You got to capture them and bring them back.
Huh. Intriguing. No, you don't see many wild quail around even anymore.
Mm-mm.
And so it's intriguing that what you've discovered about quail.
It's my favorite meat that we raise by far.
It's delicious.
So what are you learning about your dairy project with the goats?
Well, we're learning that we need a lot more goats to produce the amount of dairy that we need.
Yeah,
I would say that's the biggest thing is realizing that we thought they were going to produce a lot more than they actually do, and then a lot of that goes to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't regret getting them because we need them to clear the brush anyways.
Right.
And I like how small they are and manageable. But yeah, we just need to build the herd up a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I've been listening too intently and I've lost where my questions are at. So You get a lot of eggs. Do you eat a lot of eggs, or how are you using the eggs from your flock?
Well, we've gotten really creative. We're trying to cut back on feed costs for all of these animals because that could be really pricey. Mm-hmm. So we feed a lot to the dogs in place of buying dog food.
Okay.
If I have an excess, I will feed them back to the birds, feed all the eggshells back to the birds for instead of, you know,
calcium.
Then yeah, for calcium and minerals and stuff. It right. helps cut the feed costs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have incorporated eggs more in some of the stuff that we would cook mm-hmm. for meals and stuff.
Yeah. You've discussed with me the idea of maybe getting a cow, but if that doesn't happen, how many goats do you project you might need to take care of your needs? Or will they never quite have the amount you need?
Well, okay, so like if we have like two goats in milk, if we have two does in milk, those two does, I feel like, can just supplement our milk needs. But that's, you know, we have to collect a lot or save a lot just to be able to make like a cheese or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd probably need to be having maybe like at least like four does in milk at a time all year round.
I would say 4 to 8, mm-hmm. somewhere around there, or like six mm-hmm. to eight, really, because if one of them has triplets or something, you know, that's going to be extra milk, because these Nigerians could have, usually they have twins, and then sometimes they have triplets, and they only produce a quart of milk a day. So,
yeah,
I would say probably 4 to 8.
What all do you do with the milk? Just drink it, or?
No, I make all of our dairy products. We don't buy any store-bought dairy. So make cheese, butter, yogurt, sour cream, ice cream, just anything.
Lots of ice cream, lots of different types of cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
Just depending on what we feel like making. Some things call for like mozzarella or mm-hmm. cheddar or Swiss or...
Yeah, I think I made mozzarella, cheddar, Swiss, ricotta, mm-hmm. and cream cheese.
The ricotta is good too.
Yeah.
When do you sleep? Do you sleep at all?
Not much. Yeah, not much.
Huh. And what about you? Do you get any sleep?
I try to go to sleep early so I can wake up early.
Okay.
She will go to bed later and will wake up later.
Uh-huh.
But it's, well, like, if usually there's always somebody awake here.
Yeah. So I can drive by and see the lights on a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your grocery shopping list look like? What do you buy right now in the store?
Flour.
Okay.
Flour, sugar,
mm-hmm.
some oil, toilet paper, cat litter, mm-hmm. cat food, dog food, maybe some spices, but yeah, we don't really buy, maybe rice.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, rice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have a whole lot of trust and faith in our nation's food supply at this point anymore, which is one of the reasons why we are trying to grow and consume mm-hmm. our own food.
Yeah.
The way that God made it mm-hmm. and not the way that, you know, a corporation and profits from their product.
So do you bake much bread?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I bake just about all of our bread. Yeah, I do bake all of our bread, except if I get really busy during harvest.
Mm-hmm.
We bought a couple loaves, but I bake just sourdough bread most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And all with purchased flour, or do you mm-hmm. grind any or not?
No.
We can. We don't, though. We have like a mill for it, but mm-hmm. I haven't ground any yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I delivered milk for, well, a long time, but I delivered milk to almost every Mormon in four counties.
Mm-hmm.
And during when Y2K happened,
mm-hmm.
All the Mormons were told to stock up on goodies because they weren't sure if there'd be grocery stores even. Mm-hmm. So about 5 years after the turn of the century, two different Mormons said, "We are never going to use all this wheat that is in 5-gallon buckets. Here, Sam, it's yours." Mm-hmm. So we've been grinding 20-year-old wheat now. And
how's it store?
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
And,
yeah.
Well, I think they probably, in the 5-gallon buckets, it was maybe bromated or something,
oh,
so
really?
It wouldn't get wormy.
Mm-hmm.
But once we open one of those, I don't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty well sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's left, or we put it in the freezer and pull out as we need it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've really enjoyed the benefits of the Mormons stocking up on all that wheat. I'd kind of forgotten I had it until the COVID thing came and you couldn't buy any flour, and I thought, mm-hmm. I still have a bunch of that stuff down in the old basement. I wonder how it is.
Huh.
It was great. Yeah. Katie, with the job that you have, how many hours a week do you put in as an accountant?
About 80 typically.
Oh.
Oh, no, not 80. That's every 2 weeks. Sorry. Maybe at your end, 80. But yeah, typically just a 40-hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you all pretty well feel like you make the decisions together, or have you kind of come to fall into certain roles when it comes to the farm and the gardening, or how's that working out?
Mm-hmm. I think we're pretty good at bouncing ideas off each other to come to a decision, or if one of us feels pretty confident
mm-hmm.
in something needs to be executed, you know, we'll discuss it and go that route. But I mean, when it comes to like doing the research on all the things gardening, you know, she's pretty good at doing her due diligence, and she just tells me what I need to build.
Y'all strike me as being quite a team. It's very evident. Do you ever find things that you disagree on strongly or not? No? That's good. Not really.
Cookies?
Cookies? What does that mean? He doesn't think I make enough cookies.
Oh.
He told me I'm only allowed one cookie.
Well, I used to bake a lot of cookies in the bakery, and I decided, cookies really are disgusting. They're half sugar and half
butter,
half oily crap, and a little bit of flour. But we have 5 grandsons that are within a half a mile of grandma's cookies,
mm-hmm.
cookie jar, so we still get a lot of cookies. Maybe you share my feeling about cookies.
Yeah, well, their problem is we eat them way too quickly when I make them. And when there's so many other priorities,
right.
making cookies just kind of falls to the bottom of the list.
What is your favorite cookie to make?
I only make one cookie.
Okay.
It's just basic, like
it's like a
chocolate chip cookie without the chocolate chips.
Okay.
So it's just
a cookie.
Like a sugar cookie almost. Mm-hmm.
Oatmeal in it or not?
No, nothing. Okay. Just flour, sugar, butter,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of salt and baking soda. That's
it. Yeah. Sure.
They're delicious.
Yeah, they are good.
What do you take when you're working away from home, which, you know, you've got a job as a carpenter,
mm-hmm.
what do you take for lunch?
Nice.
Cookies.
No. I actually was like really, really tried to like limit my sugar intake before we got married, specifically. But I've been eating the same lunch about every day for quite a few years now. I'll do food prep once a week, and I'll make a big batch of like a mix that I roll up in tortillas and make burritos, and I freeze them. And in the morning before work, I throw them in the toaster oven, get them hot and toasted, wrap them up in foil, and take them to work. That way, I'm not spending money out in fast food or something like that. I know everything that, you know, I put into those burritos. It's usually like stuff that we made here, yeah, grew here.
Heavy on beans, some
black beans, yeah.
Rice in them or not?
Sometimes, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But it'll be like usually like ground beef. Like eggs, I'll make whip up 15 to 30 eggs for the batch.
Okay.
A couple pounds of meat. Wow. I'll chop up
potatoes.
Maybe like 2 sheet trays of potatoes, kind of like breakfast potatoes, and I'll put black beans. What is that stuff called? Rotel. Yeah, it's kind of like a salsa kind of thing. And I'll season it salt, pepper, and garlic powder, paprika. Mix it all together and roll them in burritos.
What day of the week do you do all that on?
It would usually be like on on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now my work schedule going to work has changed. So right. When I see that I'm dwindling down on burritos, I'll make it a point to make a new batch and I don't got to worry about it for another week or two.
Do you guys run out of gas and just sometimes think, I don't know if we can keep doing this?
Yeah.
Or have.
I have a couple times.
All right.
But then I know that, you know, you just keep doing it the next day. Because, this is a commitment that we've made. We have, animals depending on us. We put a lot of time and energy and resources into this, so we can't just give up.
In the research that I've done, too, it's like we're still in the infrastructure stage of this whole journey that we're in, you know what I mean? And right. I feel like once we're past that and we're in the maintenance stage, we can start kind of enjoying things and just maintaining things. But right now we're still we're still putting the infrastructure in, and
right.
we'll be able to take a break, I think, in the future, but we just got to stay on the grind right now.
I remember when I was younger and it was just, I can do this. We can do this. But there were times when I, I don't know of anyone else that is attempting what you all are doing except my Amish friends. Mm-hmm. And a big difference of what they are doing is without freezers, meat is canned. Mm-hmm. And they don't eat a lot of meat. Meat is pretty sparing, and I eat a lot of meals with them, and I thoroughly enjoy them. And the big meal is at lunch. Breakfast is oatmeal and bread and butter and milk. And then lunch is a big meal. Their favorite meal is what they call the haystack, and that's when Mama puts down mashed potatoes, and then they just keep piling vegetables and some meat on top, and then some gravy over the top. And oh, if they have a haystack, they're happy. And then supper is very, it may be just be tomato sandwiches or egg sandwiches. Very simple. And on top of all of the gardening and the canning of meat, the wife also sews and makes all their clothes. And so you all aren't into that yet. And hopefully
you Well, I would like to do a lot more canning. I actually enjoy canning, but I just can't do it working full time.
Yeah.
So just the time it takes for me to cut up all the vegetables and prep, I'm up till 2-3 in the morning for a couple months every night during June, July, and August. So to try to can all that, and then just knowing you could only fit so many pint or quart jars in the canner, and it takes, it really realistically only doing that one batch a day by the time it heats up and cools down and everything, because we have our regular chores to do. It just wouldn't, that would be my whole day. So I just can't do it, even though I would like to be able to can more.
There was a Amish looking guy came up to the courthouse when I was on the commission. And I wondered what they were up to. And finally he came into our meeting area. And he talked to me, and he said, we are wanting to see if there's anyone in the county that would let us come and farm their farm for them, somebody older, and we would fence and clear and, you know, give them a whole new farm. Well, that never happened. No one was willing to work with them on it. But I did go up and visit them one day, and I thought it was very interesting. They had a meal with them, and I said to the wife, "Do you do much canning?" She said, "No, we really don't, because of the reasons you just mentioned. We're really big on root crops." Mm-hmm. And so in the winter, we just eat a lot of squash and turnips, mm-hmm. and carrots and things that don't have to be canned. And so that spares me all that work. Well, I could get really tired of root crops. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting, their approach to how do we feed ourselves and actually accomplish it without killing off Mama the canner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting. Y'all have done a lot of sweet potatoes. Have you dug any yet to see what they're doing?
I got to do it before the first frost. I've been doing this 20 garden bed project right now, and I think if I'm trying to fill that with dirt, and then the next thing I'm going to be doing is getting to those sweet potatoes before it gets cold.
By the end of the month, you know, is when we're going to start digging them up. I think the first frost is usually mid-October, so I like to leave buffer, you know, just in case it comes early. So at the end of the month is when we'll start digging those up.
I can see sweet potatoes as being a very helpful crop if it's a successful one, because they don't have the storage challenges that y'all running into with regular potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still have some that are still just eating as good from last year. We have, you know,
still eating off of last year's sweet potato harvest.
Mm-hmm. Decent amount of them.
Yeah, because you're running some problems with your potatoes, right?
Yeah, my root cellar is not staying cool at all. We just had work done on it, and I wonder if I know what it is. But I mean, I wish I could talk to somebody who has a little more knowledge in root cellars so I can pick their brain.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know what it is, because it was staying cool until we put the potatoes down there. Then it warmed up, but I think the potatoes retain heat and generate heat.
Interesting.
Even though I can't find that anywhere online, but you know, you've heard of the hot potato, where people would heat up potatoes and use them as hand warmers. And then they would stay warm for a very long time. So I think that the fact that we harvest our potatoes in July, maybe it was June, I can't remember, I think it was July, in the, you know, heat of the summer, and we, technically they're supposed to be cured in like a 60 degree environment, but there's nowhere out here, you know, to cure them in a 60 degree environment, so they're upstairs, you know, curing in the extra bedroom. And I think they just retain that heat when we put them down there, because the day before we put them down there, it was 55, 60 degrees, and now it's 70 degrees down there.
Do y'all keep notes on what was planted when and how it turned out, or are you trusting your memory, or how's it working for you?
Well, I mean, I could kind of remember what has done well and what hasn't, and what I'll probably do more of. And of course, this is only our second year, but I know I'm trying to focus on plants that grow abundantly, that are low maintenance, and that just are very productive for the amount of space we have. I don't have a lot of time to be out there dealing with pest issues, with funguses, with all that sorts of stuff. Like anything high maintenance, I'm not gonna bother with. And I always try to do stuff that stores well too, so and that's low maintenance.
I think you probably have a mind that remembers things well. I have a mind, and maybe you share mine, Chris, but I don't remember bad experiences because I don't want to.
Oh, they stick in my mind very well. Yeah. In fact, I remember the bad versus the good because I don't want to repeat that again, you know?
Somebody will come to the house and I'll have a good time with them and they leave, and then Kathleen says, how come you were so nice to that person? Don't you remember this and this and this and this and this that he did to you? And I think, no, I don't. And I'm glad I don't remember all that. Thank you. Well, listen, I feel it's been a real privilege to know you all and to be allowed to watch what's going on here. And I'll probably continue to be a nosy neighbor because I know I will learn a lot from you all.
We've learned a lot from you, and you know anybody else that's willing to share their experience too.
Yeah, so. Chris and I played racquetball together all last fall and winter, and you're gonna have to come down and try it with me someday again to see if my nasty shoulder that's giving me fits, if I can just play through the pain. Because I miss that. The days will be getting shorter and darker sooner before you know it. They already are. Mm-hmm. And that's good. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to call this a wrap.